Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is Unqualified Qualification with me, it's the comedian V-Mac, I'm your host, and today I'm here with
Crystal from About Face Makeup.
Yes, the makeup artist to the stars. She's an international celebrity. She's doing major things in America and throughout the world. So what's going on? You're from St. Louis, so yes. Tell the people what's going on with you since you came from St. Louis. When did you get here?
About 7 years ago, mm-hmm. Not directly from St. Louis. I left St. Louis probably around like 2007 and went and lived in Chicago for about 5 years, got married, moved to Detroit.
So hold on, you did the hood tour. You went from St. Louis to Chicago to Detroit.
Yes, I did. Midwest cities, all cold. Yeah. And lived in Detroit for like a couple years and got a divorce. And I was like, where am I going? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to St. Louis, Chicago. Mm-hmm. I want to go somewhere warmer. And I chose Charlotte. Mm. So.
And when did About Face Makeup begin?
It began in Detroit. The idea birthed in my head when I was living in Chicago. I was like, I want to be a makeup artist. Mm-hmm. But at that time, single mom, poor, couldn't afford makeup school. And a friend of mine introduced me to the world of YouTube. Mm. You know, I didn't know anything, too much about YouTube. Mm. So there was just like this plethora of like videos, makeup tutorials, and I got hooked. And so for a long time, I was like my own model. I was just like using like drugstore makeup from Walgreens because I couldn't afford the big names like MAC and NARS and all those other ones. And I was just practicing on myself. Mm. And, when I got married, my husband had money. So he started buying all of the things I needed, and I was still practicing on myself. And then a girlfriend of mine was like, you good enough to start doing people? And I was like, no, I don't think so, because I know how women are. I don't want to mess nobody up and, have to beat them up. So.
Not beat them up. So what? I messed your face up. I'm about to mess your face up some more.
Right. So, I just didn't want to do it in the attitudes. But... took a chance, put some cards out there, some flyers out there, and word of mouth, it just took off. And I was a traveling makeup artist, and I started making money.
Okay, so where did you, so you just went and randomly picked people, or how did you promote yourself originally? How did you build your brand?
Well, I started, dropping off cards. I had cards and flyers made, so I was going to bridal shops, I was going to beauty supply stores, I was hanging up stuff at the grocery store. My ex-husband at that time, he had put some stuff up at his job because a lot of women worked at AT&T, that's where he was, and it just took off. Everybody was like, have you heard about this girl named Crystal? And I started getting booked. Just like wildfire.
So who was your first big name?
My first big name, you want to say big, was Fantasia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how was that experience?
It was awesome. I manifested that, though.
How so?
So after I got divorced and I moved to North Carolina, I was in Winston-Salem first. I was trying to find a job here in Charlotte, couldn't. Got hired at Wake Forest Law School. I was the only finance person for the whole entire school.
Wow.
And I felt like, okay, that's a step to get to Charlotte. Did that and found out who her hairdresser was or her stylist. And, my hair was short and I was looking for somebody that could do some bomb short hair, and I found Dorica's. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to get in his chair when I move to Charlotte. I'm going to get in his chair. And I'm going to give him the meat and potatoes of who I am. And I'm going to try to see if I can, do her makeup. And I say after a year, I ended up getting hired at another university here in Charlotte. Got in his chair, told him who I was. And he was like, okay, you got to earn his trust, though. Because he's a big name and he takes his work very seriously. So after a little while, he called me and he was like, hey, can you come over our house and do it for a birthday? I was like, can I?
So I ain't got nothing going on.
Yes.
Even if I did, I don't.
Right. And I was just so happy about that. And so went to her house. She absolutely loved it. She came outside on the porch. I remember I was getting in my car and she came outside on the porch and she was like, hey, sis, in her little tiny voice. She was like, I like you. I like your spirit. She was like, I would like you to come back. So I was like, okay, I was happy. And before I could get to the corner, Dericus was calling me, and he was like, she wants you to be a regular makeup artist. Like, yeah. So I remember that whole day was just so exciting for me.
So you still do her makeup to this day?
No, I stopped a little bit before she had her last daughter. You know, she's got a little girl. Mm. So I was like her makeup artist all throughout COVID. Mm. And it probably was a little bit after COVID because I remember I lost my son in April. I'm sorry, of March of 2021. And I remember it being very emotional for me because I did her for Oprah Winfrey. Oprah had sent a whole crew out to her house, to her piano room, because like I said, COVID, you know, she was just sending people out to different gospel singers' houses. And she was filming for like a Easter show. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was April right after he had got killed. I was just in front of the TV and she was singing like this gospel song that like just really got to my heart, and just to see my work on Oprah and you know the song, and I had just lost my son. It was very, very emotional for me, and I remember me and her had conversations, and she was like really giving me a lot of encouragement, you know, about that whole situation. So so I think it was probably about maybe that summer after that summer after COVID kind of went down. She started like doing everything else and started like traveling or whatever. So it just happened. It was like for a season and it worked out.
Yeah, I'm sorry about your loss.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was a blessing because it helped you through it. So when you're doing makeup, because I look at some of your before and afters, and some of the befores be like, that ain't the same person after, right?
Yeah, a lot of y'all men say that it's witchcraft.
No, it's just skills. It's art. You're painting a picture. So when you see somebody, do you be like, damn, it's going to be a hard day today?
I have had clients like that.
And how do you handle it?
I do it. I mean, they walk out looking 10 times better than what they did walking in. But a lot of them, you know, they be like, how come you ain't put my picture up, you know? And everybody doesn't know how to pose, you know. They have, like, the bitch face on, or they're just not photogenic. Mm. And I got to put up with sales, you know. Mm. They're happy with the work, but I've had some challenges.
Is it harder? Well, obviously, each race has a different way of wearing makeup, correct?
It is.
And how long did it take for you to learn it, and which ones are harder for you to do than the other?
Of course, I'm going to say Caucasian women, because the bulk of my clients are African-American, some Hispanic. I've had Asians. The way I handle that challenge, though, is that, like, with this one bride that I got coming up this week, you know, I'm the type of person, I want to get it right the first time. So I'm willing to go meet you at the makeup store, and let's do a skin match. Let's make sure you're happy with it. Because when it comes down to Caucasian women, they tan. Some of them are very pale. They have freckles, red hair, blonde hair, black hair, whatever. You got to know, like, what looks good on them. Because a lot of them don't like the strong eyebrows, like how black girls like their eyebrows strong. We like the smoky eye. It doesn't look good on them because they're so light. So you got to know how to, like, tone it down. They want to be as natural as I don't know what. And so you try to make sure that you're matching their skin to the right tones, because you don't want them to look pale and ghostly. You don't want them to look yellow. So my thing is that I'm going to skin match you, and then I'm going to buy what you say looks good on you, and that's what we're going to use on the day that we need to be doing a photo shoot or your wedding, especially your wedding, because that's your special day, and it's got to be right. There's no room for error. So that's how I do that.
So is it harder for you to teach people how to do makeup than it is for you to just do it?
I love teaching. I teach almost like every Sunday. I teach women how to do their own makeup. I teach other makeup artists how to do the work. I have about 4 makeup artists that work, I like to say, with me and not for me. But I do have a team.
Build a brand. Let's get it.
Yes.
So throughout your journey, you accomplished. Lord, listen, okay? It's early, late to me, whatever. You have accomplished a lot of different things in your career, right?
Yes.
Which award, out of all the awards you have, means the most to you?
Makeup Artist of the Year, the first time that I won that award, was with the, what was it, the Charlotte Fashion Awards or something like that. I can't think of it.
So many. It was just, you know. I was in the Charlotte Awards.
It was the Charlotte Fashion Awards. It was very, it was a big ordeal for me. Mm-hmm. Because I came here on a mission. I came here to prove, you know, that I was going to be the best at what I do. It was a toss-up between moving here and Atlanta. And I chose here because Atlanta is saturated with makeup artists. There's a lot of competition. And I didn't think it was, like, the ideal place for a single black woman to date because of the things that I've heard.
What have you heard about Atlanta metropolitan area in dating? It has nothing to do with mustaches and high heels, do it?
It has a lot to do with that. A lot of, you know, the down low population. Mm. I kind of did my research on what the HIV rate is. You know, it's just, you know, and I've heard my story. It's nothing, you know, against it, but that's just not my lifestyle. I didn't want to mix up in that. So, and like I said, what meant more to me was coming to a city where I could take it over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. And so winning that award for the first time was, like, very, very important to me. Like, I went all out. I mean, I had, like, Fantasia's, one of her stylists, he made my dress. You know, we designed the dress. He made it. Derekus did the hair. I had a camera crew come out. We were at the Ivy's downtown. I made a whole video of it.
And it was amazing video.
It was an amazing video. Yeah, so I had never won anything, not like that. So it was a big accomplishment.
Well, congratulations on your first win and many more after that. So after that, it was just like the speech kept getting shorter and shorter.
It was. And the dresses got cheaper and cheaper.
Look at her. She's blowing up. Fuck them. I got the first one. I don't need the rest of them.
Right. I went from having a Fantasia stylist making the dress to back down to Fashion Nova. I was like, okay, now. It's
Fashion Nova award shows.
Man, I got the dresses from Fashion Nova because I was like not going to spend $700-$800 on a dress again. So, and that was a lot for me at that time. But yeah, so the third year I won it, I kind of like they gave me an honorary award. Mm. I was like, let somebody else win it. I've already done this like two or three times.
How are you gonna let somebody else win it if it's meant for you?
Well,
that's like knocking a blessing.
It's the people's choice. You know what I'm saying, but. Me, I was kind of happy to give that to someone else to give her that feeling. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I feel like I couldn't keep winning them every single year. Even though if that's what the people's choice was, it was what it was. But when I saw somebody else win it like that third year, I was like, I was happy for her. I was happy.
So how's the makeup community? Do y'all have inner beef or do y'all actually collab together and build brands together?
There is a lot of inner beef because it's a competition. It's like, who's the best? Who's the best? You know, I haven't experienced that, but I've heard about it more so. It probably goes down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down with TV makeup. Working for Tyler Perry Studios is something that I would like to do, but I've heard rumors about, you know, people hating on you, you know, because I mean, they do makeup a little different. You know, when you're doing TV makeup, people already come in, already made up. And as a makeup artist, we're either going to tone it up or tone it down. You can't be like the background and you got more makeup on than the star of the show. Mm. We got to take that red lipstick off. We got to take those big lashes off. You're going to have to look like a regular person. And a lot of times, if you're good at what you do, and if the other people know you're good, they're going to choose you. They're going to be like, I want Crystal. That's when the other makeup artists are feeling some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when all of the drama starts, you know, and it can get nasty. I haven't experienced it because I haven't been actually on a TV set yet, but that's like one of my goals is to do something like that.
Was it speaking into existence? You'll get it.
Yeah, I am. I am.
All right. So you just had a big thing to do. You just made TV.
Yes.
Yes. MILF Manor 2.
Oh.
How was that? How did you get picked? How did they choose you and all this major stuff? Was it one of those workout videos? She has a lot of workout videos. Follow her. She's working out, showing you how.
What to do. I'm still working out. I still need goals to reach. But no, with MILF Manor 2, I was minding my business. There is a page on Facebook called Fly and Ageless. I guess it's for like 40 and over. Mm-hmm. And if you look good for your age, you post up or whatever. You join and you can post up. So I posted some stuff and this guy reached out to me. I think he DM'd me on Facebook and he was like, hey, think you would be a nice fit. Saw this picture. You're beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Would you be interested? And I thought it was just like, you know, a scam or something. You know how it is. Yeah, some weird stuff. But then I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. So he was like, can you be camera ready tonight? I was like, no, hair done, hair wasn't done, nails wasn't done. I'm like, no, you know, especially if you're going to use this on TV, no. He was like, well, can you do it tomorrow? So I was like, yeah. So the next morning, I still wasn't thinking about going to go get my hair done. He called me. He was like, I need you to be ready at such and such a time. So now I'm thinking, I'm like, it's serious. So went and got everything done, had the interview with the producers. They absolutely loved my personality. Next thing I know, I was getting calls from psychiatrists. We got to do a Zoom call because they want to do psych evaluations on you. Next thing I know, it was like time to go to Quest Diagnostics, get tested for every STD out here.
Jesus.
They are serious, yeah, because it was a dating show.
Better get it in.
And if you did, they didn't want to be sued, you know, and I understand, you know, like you hooked me up with somebody that gave me, you know. So it was very serious. And next thing I know, I was working for UNC Charlotte. And I was asking them to just give me a few days unpaid. I was going to take all my PTO because we were going to be gone for 3 weeks. I was 5 days short. Mm. They was like, nope. I walked out.
You got to go.
I walked out. Plus, I had signed a contract. I called a producer. I said, I'm not going to be able to do it. She was like, oh, yeah, you're going to have to because you signed the contract. Mm-hmm. You are the star of the show. And she was like, this is a multi-million dollar project. If you don't show up, you're going to put a lot of people out of a job. And this is Lionsgate, TLC, and I think it was TV1. Mm. And I was like, I ain't trying to get sued.
Yeah.
So, and I know I was the main character because I had never done this before. So
it's reality, but you was playing a character.
Well, she called it a character, you know, because I did have a certain personality on that show, especially being a black girl. I had a personality.
They gave it to you or you just knew it?
No, I just knew it. I just went along with it, mm-hmm. you know. It's not scripted. Mm-hmm. It's not scripted. It was crazy because they lied to a lot of us. So they told some people it was like Northern Love. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was MILF Manor. I didn't know I was signing up to be with some little boys until I got there.
Yeah.
So I get there, and they're like, okay, we need your phone, your wallet, any type of tablet, computer. And I was like, am I being sex trafficked? Because they had me in this, like, little hotel, like the La Quinta Inn.
The La Quinta?
It was on that level.
Oh, shit. The La Quinta where they selling drugs and vagina?
Yeah, but it wasn't going down in Canada.
I don't know.
But I was like, I got to call my mom. I'm like, my mom is going to trip. If she can't call me, she's going to have a heart attack. So they was like, call your mom. Let her know. You have no communication for the next 3 weeks. My mom was like freaking out. You sure they not sex trafficking you? I'm like, mom, they got the green screen down the hall because they rented out the whole floor and they turned some of the hotel rooms into green screen rooms. I'm like, everything is legitimate. It's a lot. It's a whole crew here. So when they took all my stuff, I basically slept and looked at TV all day. I got so much rest, but it was crazy because I had no phone. I was like going berserk.
1998.
Man, it took me way back. It took me way back. And they came into the room one day and they was like, okay, welcome to MILF Manor. I said, MILF? I was like, what? And they were like, yeah. Come on, let's get in the van, get dressed, let's go. So we go and we pull up to this big, pretty lake mansion, and I go in the backyard and it's all these older women, like in, you know, 50s, looking like they in their 60s. I'm like, what the heck? And then this speedboat pulls up with all these 21, 22-year-old dudes, and it's
movement.
Oh my God.
You know what MILF meant?
I knew, but. But it was like.
But that was just a play. That was a pump fake.
Oh, God.
The daddy showed up.
the daddy showed up, and I was so freaking happy because I ended up gravitating towards a guy that was from the same hood I was, from St. Louis, and he was nice looking. He was handsome. He was fine. And that's who I was loyal to the whole time. The whole time. Like, I was not getting ready to be with someone that was younger than my kids. It just that wasn't me. It was okay for some of them women, but not me.
Obviously it was.
Yeah, not me.
Sit your punk ass down now. Tell us about that whole thing. Sit your punk ass.
Okay. Okay. So, Barbie. I wasn't feeling her. We were roommates. We were roommates from the get-go. And she was just a little weird to me, you know. And I could tell from the very beginning she was just, like, starving for attention. You know, it was always, look at me. I used to be a stripper, da-da-da-da-da-da. And it was a scene where she said she was a stripper, and I was just looking at her while she bragging to everybody. And she was like, why are you looking at me like that? I said, I'm just looking at you, you know. So later on, we went out to the bar when the dads got there because we were supposed to be mingling and talking to everybody, you know, and getting to know the dads because they had just got in. And she called me outside. She was like, can I talk to you for a second? I was like, no, we can talk right here. No, just come on outside. So dude from St. Louis was like, oh, shit. And he was like, I already know what this going to be like because he know how we get down. So we go outside, and she said, well, you know, you seem like you had an attitude because I said I was a stripper. I was like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, you stripping compared to what I know about stripping cannot compare it. Like, bitch, if I ask you to twerk right now, can you do it? Yeah. Nah, it's more than, you know, y'all shaking y'all hair and y'all breasts and clapping y'all heels on the floor. Nah, we don't get down like that.
It's
like,
I mean, sweet cherry pie.
Right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Like, our strip clubs was in East St. Louis. So yeah. It's like, girl, nobody tripping off of that. And so we went back on in, and she kept talking shit. And I told her, sit your punk ass down somewhere. Like, at this point, I'm tired of hearing you talk. And she's like, sit my punk ass. I said, yeah, sit your punk ass down. Like, I ain't stutter. So she threw a glass. And then she threw it at the floor. And I said, she better have thrown it at the floor because she wasn't going to throw it at me. Because, and I told the producers afterwards, I said, did y'all set that shit up? Did y'all coerce that? I said, because if y'all did, y'all was probably going to have to take me home because I was going to beat the fuck out of her. Like, and I was already drunk.
Yeah.
And the whole drinking thing is that they provide liquor. From the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, you wake up with mimosas. It turned into wine during the day. Next thing you know, by the night, you doing shots. And see, that fuels emotions.
Yeah.
So they know if they go over there and say something to Stacy and make Crystal mad, they know I'm already tipsy. I'm like, what the fuck going on? You know, so
yeah.
once I get there, I'm there.
Do they coerce stuff?
They do. They do, because I found out that it was a situation with Stacy where he asked another black girl that came onto the show later to go out to the lake with him. And this whole time, I had been pursuing him, and he wasn't trying to pursue me. He liked me, but I felt like he was going through a divorce. Ink wasn't dry on the paper. I don't even think he had started going through the procedure. Maybe he didn't want somebody back at home to see him on the show getting next to a woman. I don't know what it was. And then I had chopped it up. I said, well, just because I'm nice looking, he might not like me. Just because you can't expect everybody to like you because you look good. It's just you might not be somebody's type.
So he hurt your pride.
He wouldn't hurt my
pride. I mean, like, making you, instead of saying, like, you know, I'm shit, somebody need to fuck with me, you just come with the realization, like, maybe he wasn't feeling me.
I had already chopped it up like that, you know, but they wanted me to look thirsty. Because during them green screens,
they was asking you questions.
They was telling me, like, well, just say it like this. And so everybody was like, why is this girl so stupid? He has made it clear that he's not into her. But she told myself, well, maybe he'll give me another chance and maybe it'll happen tonight. And maybe, you know, we'll kiss. And I already knew, like, it ain't happening, you know. But they made him ask another girl, you know, out to the lake. And we're all sitting there doing shots. I had already heard it was going to go down. I don't think he knew that. And I called her out. I said, hey, you supposed to be going out with Stacy tonight? And she was like, that's what I heard. I said, well, what you going to do? What? She was like, well, personally, she was like, I don't want to date a black man. I want to try something different. I'm going to try one of these white guys. I said, so what you going to do? And he asked her. She said, it's a hard no. I said, okay. So we
you better run up on these motherfuckers for what you want.
Shit. Yeah, I'm gonna look
off the camera. Look like, yo, listen, yeah, Sherry, this is what's about to happen.
They didn't show that part. So we all get to the table and we doing truth or dare. And his dare was, you know, asking her out. And she said nope. And everybody was like, damn. And so I'm sitting there looking. And I get up. He come running after me. And we got into a heated argument. And some of the white girls was like, you're wrong, Stacy. You're wrong. You know, Crystal's been liking you this whole time. He like, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to talk to Crystal. They cut all of that out.
Yeah, because it seemed like it was rated R.
It was
a little too much cursing for the TLC Tender Loving
Care Channel. It was. And then, but they didn't also show me and him. We taught the whole house how to play spades. We played spades every night. You didn't see that. Mm-mm. He also cooked me a candlelight dinner outside, you know, with roses and wine and all the romantic stuff. You didn't see that because they were trying to portray me as this thirsty, mad black woman.
From St. Louis.
And we think that he was trying to be portrayed as the absent father because he had a different relationship with his son. Because he told me, he said, I thought that I was coming on the show to reconnect with my long-lost son. He was like, I haven't seen my son in years because we fell out years ago. They didn't tell me it was a dating show. So it was a surprise to him. He thinking he going on there to see his kid, and he like, damn, I'm on a dating show. So they lied.
So how many people on the cast got lied to about what the show was?
I think we all got lied to at some point. Mm. Only person I think that knew what was going on was Barbie. Because they clearly made her the star of the show. One of my partners, she's Chronicle Speaks on Instagram, and she has like 500,000-600,000 followers. I mean, on YouTube. She said when she saw the first episode, she was like, they gonna make her the star of the show, dog. And I said, how you know? She was like, I could tell. Just by the way, they just keep the camera on her. And she was the one that was getting all the press. They were flying her out to New York. Mm-hmm. She was with Andy Cohen. She was with Daily Mail. She was doing all kind of stuff. And here we are. We're also stars of the show, and we getting bullshit like Zoom with different countries.
Damn.
To the point I had to ask the producers, I said, who's she fucking?
Damn, just fuck.
I did.
And what'd they say, nobody?
We swear to God, she's not doing anything. We don't know why. And da, 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 da. And I was like, yeah, y'all. They did us dirty. They did us dirty. We were all pissed off. Like, that woman, she didn't get along with no cast member. She was calling other people racist. She was harassing people. She was making fake usernames. She was making fake burner, calling us from
this
different Google phones
afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I got harassed by anonymous people. Next thing you know, I finally spoke up because she did this to me for 4 months. She would post me in her stories. She would talk about me. She was like, Crystal's an alcoholic. She says shit about my deceased son. Mm. It was just, and I was calling the producers and I was like, look, if y'all don't get a handle on this, like, I am really getting pissed off. I'm tired of being quiet. We're going to send her an email and we're going to tell her she's going against NDA and we can sue her, but nothing ever fucking happened. So I decided to make a video, and I did. I made a video telling my truth. And when I did that, everybody else wanted to jump on the bandwagon because I asked the cast members, I said, y'all want to do this? Oh, I don't know. You know, we don't know. But as soon as I did it, I'm like, fuck y'all. I'm going to do it myself. So when I did it, it was like, oh, now they want to do it. But it took me to, like, get it started. Mm. And that pissed her off. Next thing I know, I was getting cease and desist letters. I had so-called cops calling my house telling me to take the video down. This woman put us through living hell, but she did it to me the worst. I think she had some type of obsession with me. I think she was mad at the fact that I embarrassed her on national TV and told her to sit her punk ass down because I said, there's no woman on earth that's going to check me on national TV. Excuse me, especially a white woman. Mm-hmm. You're not finna check me on national TV like that. You ain't finna punk me like that. And I think she had a problem with that. So from that day on out, she just, every day, I got so many receipts of this woman just harassing me. I had even contacted Lionsgate. They was like, we don't see nothing wrong. I'm like, who is she fucking just, in this network?
It was just because that was promo for the show.
Yeah, I guess so. But it got to where, you know, it was restraining orders between her and other cast members. I mean, it was
so after
crazy.
So after you dropped your video, everybody else had a I Hate Barbie video?
A couple people did.
So she just didn't care about none of y'all. Just fuck it.
Nah, she was contacting people, parents, like the guy that she was dating on there. She was contacting his mother, his new girlfriend, sending emails. She had a serious problem. I don't think it was put up. I don't think it was set up by the producers because the producers were sick of her. And they were watching her because she kept going against NDA. I'm like, y'all watching her, but y'all ain't doing nothing. You know, and she was just like harassing people just every day. Like I was like, do she have a job? Like, who does this all day?
She passed the site just to be psychotic.
Well, I did see it was something that said that her mother had committed suicide by taking a bunch of antidepressants or pills because she had a mental issue. I think Barbie had that trait. And for some reason, when I did that video went viral. I had her neighbors in Salt Lake City, Utah, contacted me and was telling me all kind of stories about shit she had did to harass people for years in her community. Mm. They was like, she harassed me for 8 to 10 years. She made this man lose his job by telling his wife this, that. I mean, they said she was. I felt like I was in a Lifetime movie. She wasn't even with the man?
You feel like you might as well.
From what I heard, she was a worker. That's how she was getting her shit done.
She was a lady of the night.
That's what I was told. I was told she was a lady of the night. And it started making sense to me because I'm like, this bitch don't work. Mm-hmm. She got too much time on her hands. Like, if you working from 8 to 5, you got a corporate job or whatever. Mm-hmm. How do you have all this time to just harass everybody and do all of these things? It was crazy. And one girl called me and she said, yeah, she said, I used to be her partner. She was like, we done this together back in the day. She does this, she does that, she doesn't work. She was like, she's not what she says she is. She can't hold a job because of her mental illness. And see, when people are mentally sick like that, that's how some of them end up committing suicide because they can't have a work relationship, a loving relationship, or friendships. Mm-hmm. She was the type that she tried to have these relationships, but she couldn't hide who she was. So that person would feel like, I can't fuck with you. Let me go ahead and get distance from you. When you got your distance, she would do whatever she could do to blackmail you after she didn't share whatever or found out about whatever about you. She would use that information to blackmail you because she was pissed off that you didn't want to be her friend no more. Mm-hmm. So she was doing a lot of people like that. Mm-hmm. Like I heard about this one guy that she said, the girl told him, she said, yes, she was sleeping with him. Mm-hmm. And I think he wanted to leave her alone or something like that. Well, she put an ad in the paper that said he was gay.
In the paper?
In the paper said he was gay and that he wanted to have a gay encounter on his job and put his boss phone number out there. And all of these gay dudes was calling his boss, asking could they come, like, do sexual favors. And it almost got the dude fired. And he begged her, like, please take that ad down. Why would you do this? And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, and the friend said, I was standing right there. She said, as soon as she hung up the phone, she was cracking up because she had was trying to ruin this man. She was something else.
Have you seen her since?
Nah, I don't want to see her.
No reunion, no nothing?
We can't have one because they think I'm going to whoop her ass.
Shut up. That's the reason why there's no reunion?
Yeah. they say it's too much of a liability. Because nobody likes her. She going to get it from my girl Kelly. She gonna get it from a lot of the females. She gonna get it from the guys. She gonna get it from Chris. She gonna get it from Anthony. She gonna get it from his son, Joey. She has done so much to us. That's why I'm saying she couldn't work. She was about bothering all of us and harassing all of us.
So, okay, other than them feeding you drinks and mm-hmm. making y'all move the way they want to move, how was the events and all the different things that y'all did?
They were kind of like adult related. Some of them were silly. Like, a lot of the producers were gay, and I could tell, they had the butt challenge where the guys had to put their butts through holes and stuff, and we had to identify, who they were by their boot. You know, it was like they had on underwear, so somebody might have had on, some boxes with some bananas on it, and one of them might have some leather underwear on, and one dude, he had on a thong, and we had to, be blindfolded and be like, okay, this could be Stacy, but you know, it was games like that. Then we had one where we had to put the watermelon between our legs and the dudes had to eat it, and who could ever eat it down the fastest. It was people was like, this is TLC, this is supposed to be the Learning Channel, like what is this? I had to lick honey off of one dude, you know. It was that scene had got a lot of attention. It was crazy. You remember, you saw it.
I binge watched the shit out of it. Once I found out you was coming, I need to see what type of crazy shit is going on at the manor.
Oh my god. Yep. So
would you consider this an actual dating show or is this entertainment?
I would say it's more entertainment because nobody ended up together. It's a possibility that you could have gotten with somebody if you had that connection. The only thing about it is that you can really grow close to somebody if you're living in the house with them for 3 weeks. You'd be surprised how attached or connected you could get to somebody because y'all waking up together, y'all cooking together, y'all doing all kind of activities together. They're giving you time one-on-one. We don't go to bed. The men slept separate from the women, but we were doing this for like 3 weeks, and so you did like get close.
What about the hookups?
What do you mean the hookups?
Was there sex on the scene?
There was. With Barbie ass.
Barbie's wild.
She admitted on the show she had fucked Chris. She admitted on the show that her, I mean, we knew it, but I wanted them to really show that because there was a camera in the Realfie room. The Realfie room stood for a room I like to fuck in. Okay, and they had a sign outside the door. So that was the room that they gave you because if you wanted to stay the night with your partner or whoever you was feeling. And it's a camera in there. I was hoping that they was going to show that black and white scene where they, you know.
Night vision.
Yeah, but the night vision. They didn't show that. But there was a scene where she was like, I should have never had sex with him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Anthony and Lynette did something too because I was looking at these women. I'm like, why are y'all so upset about them liking somebody else? Like, because they was like together and then all of a sudden it's like if like Anthony, he was liking another woman when she got there and Lynette went berserk and left the house in the middle of the night. Like, she left the show early. And I'm like, she had to have done something with this dude because, I mean, we only been here for like a couple weeks and you that pissed off to where you just need to. I mean, she was crying like, oh, I'm so hurt. Ooh, that's somebody. that's coming from somebody that done does something. Because if it had been me, I'd have been like, okay, then go, you know, go ahead. Shit. You know, either way. But something, they had to have done something for her to feel so betrayed.
So what happened with you and yours?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. We pecked, but they didn't show that. Mm-hmm. We pecked when he cooked me dinner outside, and it was dry. It was just like, you know how you kiss somebody, and then you kind of like steal there, and you thinking they're going to come in, and they're going to really kiss you. It was just like, it wasn't happening. But me and him had already had a conversation that we weren't going to never go in that room. Like, we got kids and family back home watching this show.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you if we would have, we probably would have got we would have got that night vision light.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
There.
Yeah, they would have showed us, like, look at them, they fucking. the black couple is fucking. You know?
Black love on TLC.
Right. Then I would have been like, you know, everything. You know, she's stupid. She's a slut.
NAACP would have came after your ass.
Yeah. But we knew better. We ain't crazy. So
after the show ended, y'all ended?
We kept going to LA a lot. LA to do our green screen. So I did meet up with the crew on several occasions. We was flying out like every other 3 weeks, it seemed like. Florida, New York, LA. I did LA and Florida. And it was me and him, we you know, talked.
That's what they did. They was talking.
Yeah, we talked, we had dinner, we had some drinks together, but it was just always, you know, homie, friend, chummy. It wasn't ever, and we was in the same hotel.
Was it by his choice or your choice or just both choices? Probably, did you put him in the friend zone?
I didn't put him in the friend zone, but I treated him like he was in the friend zone because I wasn't going to come off thirsty. Stacey's cocky. He cocky, and he, you know, he feels like he's a ladies' man. And he got it like that. So I'm the type of person, yeah, I might feel like you could have it like that in my mind, but I'm not finna make myself look available like that. Like, I've already showed you a lot of feminine energy. I was making his plate. I was pouring his drink. I'm, you know, rubbing his back. I've already said things to let him know I'm interested. But, you know, I'm not finna make myself look like a fool. I didn't give you all this feminine energy, and you ain't biting it. Okay, then, keep it going. Keep
yeah,
because
there's other sharks and the motherfucking fish.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They wanted, that's what I'm saying. They made me look thirsty on the show, but in, but behind the scenes, I was like, fuck it. I mean,
yeah.
Why are we going to keep doing this? And he ain't, are you going to kiss him tonight? Are you going to, you know, the producers would pull me to the side. And I'm like, I might try to see what it's like. But then I felt like, no, nah, because if, what if he just like, you know, moves back or he refuses me, make me look like a damn fool on national TV. No, we ain't doing that one. So I never did go for it, Augusto.
So is your DMs popping now?
Oh, God.
So before, you didn't want to go to Atlanta for the dating scene. You wanted to come here because it was more heterosexual males. So,
man.
So now you.
I got weirdos from all over the world.
They want to look at your feet and shit.
Greece.
Africa,
Greece, London. I mean, a lot of men who are just like, I'm watching you and you're just the prettiest one on the show and I want to take you out and I want to see you and can I fly you over here? And I've gotten big pics and everything. I've gotten everything. Okay, I have.
That's a woman dating though. Don't you randomly get dick pics for no damn reason anyway?
Not like I used to.
What happened? You aged out of the dick pics or something?
I think so. Now, if you send me one, I'm blocking you. If,
but before, even if, you was looking at it and thinking, like, what?
It was always it was always a turn off for me. You know, when it first started happening, I was like, ooh, you know. But still, I was like, who else he sending these to? And then, like, the message he was giving, it was just like, I just want to sleep with you, you know. And I'm just, that don't faze me. I mean, I'm almost 50 years old, so it's like what dick gonna excite me? You know, I got three grown ass boys. It's like I've had a substantial sex life. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, what you gonna do? After you done seen all shapes, sizes, and probably colors. I mean, they all start to look alike.
You had
start to look alike.
All dicks look alike? No. But hold on. You said you have an extensive sex. You had a sense of status.
I said I'm substantial.
Right.
I mean, I had a baby at the age of 15. I was pregnant at 14, and here I am 49 years old. You know
getting
what I'm
it.
Saying? No, it's not like I was. I mean, we all had our hoe days. You know, you go through a little hoe phase, but my thing is that after, it just doesn't excite you no more. It's more to life than just sex. It's like I want something with some substance. I want a relationship with communication. Sex to me is just the icing on the cake. It's about the ingredients of the cake that matters to me now. I mean, okay, after you get that, it's like you ain't got shit to show for it but a wet ass. So it's like, okay, what am I gonna get along with this? And so now as an older woman, I have been through periods of celibacy for a while. I can go without it for a long time versus when I was younger because it's not all that. And then with everything that you got going on, you know, everybody is screwing everybody. You got diseases out here. I don't think that no temporary thrill is worth a lifetime of me having a STD or whatever, AIDS or hurt, whatever. I don't think it's worth that. It just comes along with wisdom, you know, as you get older. Sex ain't all that.
Preach. The ingredients in the cake, not the wet
not the
booty.
Icing, not the icing.
All I heard was wet booty and ingredients.
Wet ass.
Damn.
Yeah.
So are you dating now? How are you dating now with people knowing who you are from the Manor of MILFs, part two?
The dating pool sucks. I hear it a lot, especially when I have women that come in my chair, sit in my chair to get their makeup done. Everybody got the same freaking story.
What's that story?
Men are narcissists. how they have mom issues, mommy issues. They're liars. They're cheaters. They don't know how to communicate. They don't do the small things that count. They're jealous, low-key jealous. I think ever since we women have, like, bossed up, some men, and I'm not saying you, but some men are not able to deal with that since we've learned how to boss up for ourselves and learn how to deal, you know, deal with life without them, you know, how we can be as independent as we are. I mean, you remember back in the 80s and the 90s, we wasn't bossing like we bossing now. And a lot of men are low-key jealous because they feel intimidated by that. That's one issue. But my dating life is that I find that men my age are either married or they are divorced and they don't want to get married again. You know what I'm saying? They've divorced. They've been hurt in that divorce. They had to give up the 401k, pay the child support. They like, shit, I ain't doing that shit no more. I'm ready to play. I've been married for 20 years. I'm finna get out here and see what's out here. You know what I'm saying? So they want to play games.
So you looking to get married?
I would like to again. I really love being a wife. When I was a wife, I wasn't a wife that long. But the whole family unit, my kids, my sons, they were grown. They were extremely happy, you know, about the whole situation. I like being in the kitchen cooking, and I can see my husband out there cutting the grass, and I'm, you know, the whole, it just, I'd rather do that than be going from guy to guy to guy, you know, and then it gets redundant because you know how it is. As soon as you put somebody up on a pedestal, you got to take their ass right back down. And then to go to the next person, and you got to go through that whole interview. Well, where did you go to school? Well, how many kids do you have? What kind of work do you do? That shit get tiresome. I just want to have one person that I know, and we can build from here on out.
So what are your criteria? Age, education, all that?
I've been getting a lot of, but a lot of young guys, they
are. What's young to you?
Shit, 20, long, as young as 28. I got a son that's 28. But, I mean, I get the younger guys, but, and they feel like they got to bring it because they want to prove that they are worthy because they know you older. Mm-hmm. My fear with that is, you know, I'm going to get old and wrinkled one day. Like, you're going to leave me for somebody younger. Like, you worried about too much. No, I wouldn't. You know, they don't know what they want. I got a 28-year-old son. I know how his mind operates. So it's like, and they can just be fun, and then you. But then I would say my limit probably would be 40. I would say maybe 40. That would be my youngest. And my oldest, maybe 55. Because I'm 49. Somewhere so around there.
40 to 55.
40, yeah, so you're about a 15. Yeah. Yeah, gap there.
So, are you a, oh, well, shit, 40 to 50, that's it. Yeah, you got a good gap.
The youngest
gap
would be 40.
You got a good gap there.
He could be 45. He could be 42, yeah. But I don't want to go below 40, and I don't really want to go above 55.
Why you want an old man? why the MILF don't want an older man? What's wrong with that? He going to get old, and you going to want somebody young?
As long as he's in great shape and he does it for me and I got that connection, it can definitely happen. It can definitely happen.
So how can somebody approach you? What is a catch for you? Like, okay, I'm going to mess with this person or touch this person. What's the approach they got to come with? DMs or in person?
I would love for it to be in person, but nobody's really approaching in person anymore. A lot of it's coming through the DMs, you know, Facebook, Instagram. I've been following you for 3 years. I won't take you out. You know, that I get a lot of that,
That's
but
scary as hell.
It is, and I don't really respond to a lot of it because I be feeling like they be having a certain agenda, you know, and I don't know what that is.
You already know but what it is.
Yeah, but in person, though, it don't really happen. That's why I don't even frequent clubs. I don't frequent clubs for several reasons. First of all, when I was going to the club, it was pulling out your chair. It was buying you a drink. It was slow dancing. It was being a gentleman, you know. Now you go to the club, you got the dudes in one corner, the women in the other corner, everybody on their phone, nobody's dancing. And there's no communication. The dudes is looking at you like, okay, you gonna come to me before I come to you. You know, they buying all of they dudes shots and stuff like that, but nobody's being a gentleman and saying, hey, y'all ladies. I mean, I'm used to that type of era. you go out here now and it's all about twerking. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm good. I'm good. And I see all these women disrespecting themselves. You know what I'm saying? They ass out, showing the back of the coochies, all up in the booth. When I went out, we acted like ladies. We sat there, we crossed our legs, we wore nice, beautiful clothes, dresses. You know, we got sexy. Don't get me wrong, but it was a level to certain things, and it's just changed now. It's just changed. So I don't really do clubs like that.
Mm. Have you been offered any more reality shows?
No.
Would you do one?
I don't think so.
Do you feel like you gave too much or lost too much in it?
I gave a lot. I had to give up clients. I had to give up clients. I had to give up some money, you know. And I lost a little bit of money, too, because some people was like, I don't want none of your girls to do me. I wanted you, you know. Can I get my money back, please? You know, I had a couple of those. The whole not being able to communicate, that hurt. And then the fans are treacherous.
They pick one person and they protect them from the other people's fans.
Oh God. I mean, they look at everything. They look at everything. Twitter was really hot. Twitter X was they talked all about us. They was calling some of them women Tales, the Crypt Keeper from Tales from the Crypt.
Oh, shit.
They was leather face. They ain't even went in on me. They was just like, what they say? They said something about my teeth. They was like, her teeth. I'm like, okay, I know my little teeth is booked or whatever. I mean, you know, they zoom in on everything. Now, one thing they did like my clothes. They started posting, like, where'd she get these clothes, her dress from, her outfit from? They were saying I was the best dress on the show. I did see some stuff like that. But the fans, it's one thing dealing with them, but then I had to deal with a cast member that was also adding to the fucking harassment. It was just like, I am over this. I'm over this.
Was it lucrative enough?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it could have been better. If I did it again, I would know what to ask for this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if I'm going to lose out on some things, y'all need to reimburse me for that.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to keep getting my hair and nails done to come down here to do these green screens and stuff like that, y'all need to be paying my stylist for this. Mm-hmm. I need to be reimbursed instead of just being reimbursed for my luggage and up to a certain amount in food. No. Because it costs.
So they give you a food per diem?
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't enough. Not in no L.A.
Hell no. Nothing in L.A.
Not in L.A.
And they knew that this. That's their stomping ground. Why wouldn't they know it?
Yeah. But I. So.
So how has your brand bounced from this?
I'm glad it's over. I'm glad it's over just because of, like I said, of the harassment that we received. I was ready for it to just be over with. But I think it did its purpose. It got my page more exposure. I didn't go up as much as Barbie. I think Barbie went up to like 100,000 followers. I'm only at 16.
Mm-hmm.
I probably got about maybe 5,000 or 6,000 followers out of it. People still recognizing me for who I am in my makeup, but not like I would have thought. I wish that I would have been able to get the press. Like, imagine if I would have been on Andy Cohen or The View or the what's her name? Can't think of Shepherd last name. You know, the
Sherry
Shepherd show, because she even had us. She featured our poster. Mm-hmm. It was like talking about the show. If I would have got some more press, it could have been way better. And I don't think that I got what I got. And I'm like one of the main characters on the poster in the front, standing next to Barbie, and didn't really get it.
You think it was a color thing?
They probably would say no, but I think it had something to do with it.
Mm.
You know, because it wasn't Love and Hip Hop. It wasn't Real Housewives of Atlanta. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's MILF Manor. So, no. I think it probably has something to do with it, but they'll never admit that.
So what's the end game for you now?
End game for me right now, come out with my own brush line. Working on that right now.
Mm.
I want my makeup brushes sold in stores.
Oh, makeup brush. I'm like, you going from brushing to your hair?
No.
So what's so special about yours? Like, brush? Like, what's the style? How you build it? And where did you come up with the idea to say, you know what, I'm going to do my own makeup brushes?
Okay. So, make a long story short, went to Fantasia house one time. Had to do her makeup. Forgot my brushes. Mm. Had to run home and get them. I was cussing the whole way there because I didn't want to come off as unprofessional. But as makeup artists, when we packing and we rushing, we leave shit. Went and got the brushes, but I was thinking the whole time, I said, what if I would have just had an emergency kit that I keep in my car in case I ever, like, do this ever again? And it just dawned on me, like, I need to come out with this kit. So I contacted China through Alibaba, whatever, found an excellent brush company. They sent me samples galore. And I came up with a kit that has everything we use. So I mapped it out. As a makeup artist, or even as a regular consumer, you go to the makeup stores and you buy these brush kits and you like, what is this brush for? Like, why do I need three blush brushes? Or what? Why is it shaped like this? You don't know what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I use. I use about 15 to 17 different brushes on the face, from blush brush to angle brush to smudge brush. We use a lot of brushes, lip brush. So what I did from the eyebrows all the way down to the lips, I mapped out what I did, and I took a picture of it, of those brushes, sent it to China. I said, I need them just like this, made like that. And they sent them to me with the exceptions of a couple. There is no store that sells what I have. And it's going to come with beauty blenders, disposable lip wands, mascara wands. It's going to have my logo on it. It's going to be in a nice leather case. Because when you go into Ulta Beauty or Sephora, either you got to buy single brushes, and then when you do buy a set, it'd be a bullshit-ass kit. You go into MAC want $30 for one brush.
Mm.
And those brushes run you about $1 to $2 a piece from China. So they making a killing off of it. So that's what I want. I wanted to have everything, and I want to do the marketing and the advertising with the whole ad and the dope video to promote it. And if I can pay me an influencer to market it for me, yeah, dope. That's what I want to do.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. That's going to come out in the near future, people. So get your faces ready for the brushes.
It is.
The name of this show is called Unqualified Qualifications, right?
Yes.
So at what point in your life did you feel like you were qualified, but the rest of the world felt like you was unqualified?
Ooh, that deep. where I felt like I was qualified.
And nobody else did. Everybody else thought you was unqualified for whatever it is.
I wasn't gonna know that. Okay, since I am a little chick from the hood, from St. Louis, I come from some of the roughest neighborhoods. Wynnupport, Cabney Courts, and a Horseshoe. Having a baby at the age of 14, getting pregnant at the age of 14 and having a baby, I think a lot of people thought that I was gonna be a statistic, that I was gonna be someone that was going to be on welfare, mm-hmm. strung out on drugs, out there dirtball bad. And I proved everybody wrong, including my father.
Mm-hmm.
I proved everybody wrong. I went and got 3 degrees. I raised my kids. And everything I've always put my mind to, everything I've said I was going to do, I did it. I'm a go get it, come back with it type chick. And I've always been like that. And my family look up to me
mm-hmm.
for doing the things I've done, because I can have my hardest days and feel like I'm a failure. And my mom will be like, Crystal, you just don't realize, like, you have done more than anybody in this whole entire family, dating back to our great grandparents who were born in 1914. You have done so much. I travel the world when I can. I'm a risk taker. I don't wait on nobody. And it's still some things that I want to do, and I'm going to do them. I'm working on them, and I ain't going to stop till I get it.
Game time. Let's get it. Yes. Congratulations on everything you're doing, everything you did.
Thank you.
Coming from 14 to here, I don't know you like that, but I'm proud of you.
Yes.
Let's get it.
Yes, yes. I mean, I finished high school a little later. I had to drop out because I was homeless. I was living out of a car, and I remember I used to get a $234 welfare check, and that's when I was in and out of Motel 6 paying $19.99 a night. Mm-hmm. And or I would drop my son off to my auntie house, and I would, you know, be out in the streets trying to find out where I was going to stay and all type of stuff. I've been through a lot, but I got through all of that. I've always kept a job, never been unemployed. Even if I got fired or I quit, I always had something right there. God has been amazing. I was told that I was never going to be a homeowner. When I moved here, I was like, Charlotte is it. I'm not moving nowhere else. And I decided I wanted to be a homeowner. And I was going through people, and they was like, nah, you know, the debt ratio, So got with my girlfriend, Christina Delgado, who's my real estate agent and one of my besties, and she was like, I got somebody for you. If he can't make it work, it ain't going to work. I ended up building my house, designing my house.
There it is.
After they told me I wasn't going to be able to buy an existing home, I ended up building it.
Mm-hmm.
And I dedicated that home to my late son.
Mm-hmm.
So even the address adds up to the age he was killed. I ended up looking on Facebook one day, and I saw the house that I had built, not knowing that I had posted this house years ago.
Mm.
The same structure, everything. And my other son said, Mom, look at what day you posted it. I posted it March 16, 2020. My son was killed March 16, 2021. Mm. So I went in there when it was just sticks and wood. I went in there with a magic marker in the middle of the night, wrote his name on every single wall and every single room. When you come in my house now, you'll see a sign that said Corlin's Home, established 2022. That is my baby's house. And it had to be a special house because it's got a beautiful view where you can see the sun come up over the hills in the woods. And the thing is, I have some of his ashes left over, and I have some of his hair clippings because he got a haircut before his funeral, of course. I have a little baggie of those little things that were left over, not his urn. That's his main thing. Nothing will never happen to that, but I have some things left over. So I want to plant a tree in the backyard and put those things in the roots so when I get up in the morning, I can drink my coffee and look at my baby's tree and be like, look at my baby out there blooming.
Mm.
And it had to have the perfect view, and we found it.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was a big accomplishment for me.
Yeah.
It was scary too. Like, man, I got this big old house. How am I gonna afford it?
Don't worry about it. No, we here now. We just get it.
Hey, and we've been doing it. So, I got confirmation from him. His spirit told me. He was like, "Don't worry about it. We got it." And I just imagine my baby sitting on God's lap, like, "Bless my mama. Bless my mama," because the blessings have been coming. To where even his brothers was like, is something going on? Is Quillen doing something up there? Because we getting a whole lot of blessings that just don't make sense. I'm like, I think my baby is up there convincing God. Like, bless my mom and my brothers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I believe in that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let everybody know your social medias so we can get up out of here.
Okay. You cold. You like this?
I'm a little nippy.
You're a little nippy.
I don't want my nipples to be shown, you know. I don't have on a jacket.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I really go, okay, on Facebook, I'm Crystal Jennings. C-R-Y-S-T-A-L.
Last for those name people who can't spell.
Yeah, for those, because you can spell Crystal all kind of ways. But on Instagram, that's the main page, aboutfacemakeup_1, all one word. That's me. That's where you're going to see my work. You're going to see me. You're going to see me with
everybody doing faces.
Everybody doing faces. And I like to get on there sometimes with my little fits, you know, put a little fashion in it. It's beauty.
Yeah, it's beauty. There's a lot of beauty going on in those pictures. Yeah, and the workout pictures, too. The video, she's doing the big things.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to keep that.
She made me want to go work out now. I'm going to be like, you know what? Forget it.
The thing is the food. I like to eat.
Yeah, you was telling me earlier you like seafood.
Man.
So seafood will make you, instead of going to the gym, you go get some seafood?
I go to the gym, but I do treat myself once a week. Treat yourself, don't cheat yourself. My trainer always tell me one cheat meal per week is not bad. But when you make it a cheat day, that's when you go wrong.
Hmm.
So you should reward yourself.
Well, I'm cheating every day. I'm just a whole bunch of food. I don't get
And I like steak.
I don't like steak.
You don't?
No.
Steak, buddy? I love me a steak.
I like steak. I mean, no, I don't like steak. I'll go to Steak 48, but I'm not going to eat no damn steak. Okay? I just don't do that. The pink meat, ugh. How you like it? Medium rare and
that's
all that?
That's right.
Oh, man, fuck that.
If it's well done, it's like leather.
I don't want none of that. Just give me a hamburger and some shrimp, and we'll call it an evening. You can eat your steak with me. I'm just going to eat a hamburger or something. It was a lamb chop or...
You basically like my son. Chicken wings,
damn,
pizza.
Fuck.
Chicken wings. He lives in Europe now, so maybe his appetite has gotten a little bit different. But it was chicken wings, pizza, and hot wings. And hamburgers. That's all it was. I'm like, try some sushi. No.
I've never had sushi with my basic ass. I've never had.
You need to go and try some different stuff.
Well, maybe one day I'll try sushi.
Down here with all these sushi spots. Walk your butt up in one of them and get some sushi. You know they got shrimp tempura sushi too, where you can get it cooked.
Yeah.
It don't have to be raw.
That was the thing, the raw part.
Anything that say tempura is fried, get it.
Okay, look, breaking it down for my basic ass. Basic ass burn.
Try it.
Okay, I'm going to try it. I'm gonna try some almost cooked sushi and to eat a pink steak. Yeah, I'm going to do it. Love the way the blood run down my throat.
Oh,
all right.
Lord. Jesus.
All right, everybody. Thank y'all for coming and listening to Unqualified Qualifications. Have a good day and be great.
It's Bash on the beat. Line up.